blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 66, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Turn to me, thy grace impart. I am desolate indeed, great the troubles of my heart. Save thou me, O Lord, I plead. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 66.
Thank you. scripture we wish to read the first, from the first book of Moses, Genesis, and thereof chapter 41, the whole chapter, Genesis 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward, in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the 1st 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in 1 stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Pharaoh said Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may gather together in thy house in this evening hour, and thou knowest all that takes place around us in this world, where we see fathers and mothers taking their children by their hands and going from door to door as in the service of all the devil's superstitions, as deceptions in the midst of this world. And thou, Lord, knowest, and that we in ourselves have the same heart as everyone that is around us, and it is only of thy mercies that we are not consumed, and that we are kept by thee from going in that same way, and that we with our children are brought up unto thy house of prayer to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And in this day, when we may commemorate thy own work in the midst of thy church, in delivering thy church from all the corruption and that Satan has brought into it, and then thou knowest that we take so much for granted. Oh, that we might truly see the great work that thou hast done, and that our hearts may acknowledge thee in this day, and that there may be a blessing out of that truth that thou hast preserved among us. For we read in thy word, and that there shall be false Christs and false prophets that would deceive, even if it were possible, the very elect. But it is not possible that thy elect will be deceived, for thou dost call them, and thou dost convert them, and thou dost keep them, and thou dost instruct them. And what thou dost begin, thou wilt also bring to an end, and thou bringest forth fruit within them. O Lord, wilt thou teach us also to acknowledge thee for thy blessed decrees, and for the truth that thou givest unto us and unto our dear children. When the devil does propagate what is in half-truth, and what is in half-truth is no truth at all, that there is some ability left in man, that he is not completely dead, that he is only sick, and that he is only needs to be reformed, and that he needs to be corrected. He needs to be taught in his mind what is the truth, and then his will choose it. O Lord, thou knowest how it truly is, and that we hate thy truth, that our hearts are opposed to it, and though it be set before us in all of its beauty, and though it be proven unto us to be the truth, our heart will continue to choose that which it desires by nature, that it desires all that is carnal and all that is sinful and all that is of self and all that is against thee. And therefore, we are to be condemned. O Lord, wilt thou deliver us then? And when thou hast given us that truth, wilt thou use it also? O teach it unto us, that we may teach it unto others, and that thou may send thy Spirit also to accompany thy word in the preaching and the teaching of thy word, in catechism classes, in confession classes, in house visitations. Oh, bless the means that are used. One word, O Lord, for our soul, blessed by thee, that shall be so mighty and so powerful. Oh, look then upon each and every one of us. And look on us in this evening. There are many that are not able to be with us. Thou knowest where that they may listen. And give them also a blessing there. And those that may have no desire, O Lord, what makes any of us to differ? Maybe we don't have a desire even at either tonight. Maybe it is all out of form. Maybe it is all out of custom. And then we cannot say that we are any better. But Lord, could it please thee? to bless thy word unto us, and to bring with desire a Sabbath after Sabbath day each one of us into thy house of prayer, and that thou may give what is necessary to those who are in the hospitals. Thou knowest the two infants that remain in the hospital, and one had to be transferred into Edmonton again in this day to receive procedures for his heart. Lord, thou hast made it well thus far. Wilt thou strengthen and wilt thou bless these means? Help those parents and give them strength, give them courage, and wilt thou be near unto them in all these trials, and that thou may look upon all those parents that do stand by their children, cared for by others. Remember her that has also received surgery in this day. Thou hast made it well, and we may acknowledge thee, or that thou may bless it and also give healing for her body, that she may return home again soon, and that thou may also grant an heart that may be broken, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that thy spirit may humble her soul and the soul of her husband together with their children, and each one of us upon our journey to that great eternity. Others that we hear do need to receive surgery. Thou knowest their place. Wilt thou guide hands of the physicians? Wilt thou give wisdom? Wilt thou give skill? And wilt thou give thy blessing undeservedly? A cry unto thee, for what man is not able to give unto us? And wilt thou give unto all that suffer the comfort that is necessary in body, but also in soul? Draw thereby, Lord, unto thyself, that we with thy truth would not perish, because then the punishment will be greater for us than it is for those who have no knowledge of thy truth. Oh, may thou bring it to the ends of the world. Help him that does study to bring thy word one day. Help the instructors be on their right and on their left. Remember those that labor upon the mission field. Wilt thou care for them in their place? And all those that do bring thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, they are not all known unto us, but thou knowest where thy word is brought in truth. And Lord, even when it is not brought in truth, oh, thou art even able to give a blessing in those places and to draw men out of those errors and to bring them unto that place where food and may be given unto them also. Wilt thou remember our lands in which we live, the governments of our lands, where laws are being made, and we may acknowledge thee, that thou givest also in this our own province, that there may be laws that bring us somewhat back at the very least. O Lord, that thou may give an increase therein, and bring us back with heart and soul all together, and that thou may remember those that make such laws, and remember the elections that take place also in these days. O Lord, wilt thou be on the right and on the left, and wilt thou influence the hearts of men when men are not able, and do as it pleaseth thee. But have thou mercy upon us as we do not deserve. Oh, could it lie in thy hidden and secret pleasure that we may yet be spared for some time, and that we may be brought back a little, that thou may and may spare, that there may yet be for us and for our children a time extended, and that we may not waste that time while we are still in the land of the living. Remember thou us in this evening hour. Give strength for our labors. Give wisdom, therefore. Give thy Spirit's blessing in the heart of each and every one, forgiving all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows, 1 through 4 of Psalter 164. Thank you. Beloved congregation, the Reformation was a very great upheaval within the church. It was the cause of much strife and much bloodshed and much misery in the history of the church. Was that right then? Was that good then? That such an upheaval would be made within the church? There are many issues within the church for which that would not have been right at all. There is never a perfect church upon the earth here below. And every difference is not cause for division within the church. But Luther was a man converted by the Lord. Are you converted by the Lord, boys and girls? And because he was converted by the Lord, then his conscience became very tender. Do we have a tender conscience? And with that tender conscience, the church wherein he was taught him the place that he was to go that he may receive relief within his conscience. And where was that place? And that was to the priest, that was to his confessor, where he must confess all of his sins. He went there many times, as we can read in the history books. Many times he had to go back unto that man until that man became tired of him, because he came back for things that he said no one else would come back for. Why is that? That was that tender conscience. Because then Luther experienced that there is no end to sin. Is that also our experience? If the Lord will give you a new heart, children, and you will try to take away sin out of your life and out of your heart, then you are going to find the same thing, if it is well, as Luther found, that there is no end to all the iniquity and all the transgression that is found in our heart. Luther could find no relief under the doctrine of that church at that time, because it was a false doctrine, because they had degenerated from the truth of God. And now it is the Lord himself that opened the eyes of Luther's soul and revealed to him the way of grace. Did the Lord ever reveal to you what grace is? That is, what that church of Luther's time had drifted far away from. If only Luther and the other reformers could now have convinced the church after his eyes went open, but that proved to be impossible, and therefore separation from that doctrine was necessary. And it is a great wonder that we also with our children may be separated from that deceit. Our text, by way of commemoration for the Reformation, it can be found in the portion that was read to you, Genesis 41, the verse 55, only these words, "Go unto Joseph." So far the words of our text. Pharaoh's direction to his famished people. First, a distressful cry. Second, a satisfying direction. Pharaoh's direction to his famished people. First, a distressful cry. And second, a satisfying direction. So we say a distressful cry. What is that? What do we read? And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. So we say a distressful cry because it is a cry for bread. And bread, that is the staple, we would say, of our life. So that means that it's the same as saying that they cried unto Pharaoh for food because they had nothing to eat. And what will happen when we have nothing to eat, then we will die. Was that always so, that they had nothing to eat? No, just a short time before, they had much to eat. So it was very, very different. So we find that there was a change, a great change, and that did come in that land of Egypt. And so that is also in the life of the church, in the life of God's people, of His elect. There comes a change in their life. What took place here in Egypt was foretold by the Lord. How did the Lord foretell that? You know that, boys and girls, we heard it. Then the Lord came to Pharaoh in a dream. Thus, the Lord stood above it all, because the Lord showed to Pharaoh beforehand what was going to take place, many years beforehand. Do you know what is in the future? You say, I don't know that. No, only God knows that. And it is only the Lord who is directing it. And so, then it is very evident that the Lord is standing above all of this. And in that dream, we read that Pharaoh, he saw seven fat-fleshed and well-favored kine and seven full and good ears of corn. And Joseph says that they are 7 years of great plenty and that are coming in the land of Egypt. And we know so it took place. We read the earth brought forth by handful, 7 years. And for 7 years, Joseph did gather all of that food by handfuls. We read he laid it up in the cities, and he began by numbering it, keeping track of how much food that there was, but then there was so much food that they lost track of it all. And then we read that it was without number, even as the sand that is upon the sea, very, very much. And then what do we read? We read, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Thus, it is exactly the way that the Lord had foretold it in that dream unto Pharaoh 7 years before. The Lord is our creator. The Lord is the creator of the entire universe. But not only the creator, He is also the provider. And there is absolutely nothing in this whole world that is taking place outside of His decree and outside of His permission. And then He also has a purpose. We don't always know what that purpose is. Very often that purpose is hidden from us as men. But it is all known unto the Lord. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Joseph, congregation, is a type. He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Joseph delivered the land of Egypt by the hand of the Lord, then that is a type and a picture of the salvation with which the Lord is delivering His own church. Thus, Do we know what that means, what we read here? Do we know what that means in our life? For the 7 years of plenteousness were ended. You know what that is? Because what does that mean? By nature, then we say we have plenty. What do you lack? Maybe you come up just because of form, because of custom. I have done this from my youth, but actually I don't lack anything. Because as long as the Lord is giving to us all of our natural needs, we have no want. We lack nothing. We miss nothing else. We seek only that which is carnal. Because by nature, for man's satisfaction, what it means to be satisfied, that is not in spiritual things, but that is a temporal sufficiency. And as long as we have temporal sufficiency, then we have plenty. We have everything that we need. And then the Lord comes. And then, as we read in God's word, a man, a young person, a young girl, a child, is born again. And then there is a change. Then there is a great change. And what is that change? Well, there is a new life. And for that new life, there is a new desire. Because desire belongs to life. And hunger and thirst and the kind of life that is lived, that is not just a temporal life and cannot be satisfied with temporal food and drink. Thus we say there is a great change, because there is now required a different sustenance, different food, different drink than was required before. And then what is the experience of those people? Well, it is like it says here, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Thus, do you know what that is in your life? That you go from a time in which you say you have plenty, but everything that was necessary to go through this life. And then there was a change. Then all that plenteousness, that time, it came to an end. You know, we read of the prodigal. We read of the prodigal that he began to be in want. That doesn't mean that we lack anything that is in this world. That can be in a very, very great prosperity. We can have so many riches and so many goods in this world. And yet our soul is no longer satisfying. And now instead of plenteousness, there comes a lack. There comes a missing. It is an unfulfilled heart. Do we know what that is? And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come. Thus it was right in the transition, we would say. It began to come. That was not immediate, no, but that was slowly, as the law of the farm is. What do you think? How did that go in Egypt? Because now it was 7 years, and now comes the 8th year. And then they have gone out into those fields, and they have planted those fields. You think so, children? You think they planted? Or do you say, no, I'm sure they did not plant? Because it was prophesied there was going to be famine. That nothing was going to grow. Oh no, you can be sure that they have planted. And why did they plant? Because congregation, it has to do with our life. And when it has to do with our life, then a man does not sit on his hands, as it were. Even the devil says skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for his life. But those rains are withholden. And that great river of Egypt in that year that begins to recede slowly. Harvest is very poor. Economically, that is not very good. Then it is the ninth year. Oh, the ninth year. Well, maybe it will be better. We certainly are going to try it again. And that seed is again planted. But it is now more of the same. The Lord withholds, and things do not get better. But slowly, things only become worse. And then that, what has been saved in the family from years gone by, they say, we do not eat it all up, but we save for a rainy day. Then that slowly, that begins also to be depleted. And they need to eat all of this up. And thus there is no increasing. No, it is just the opposite, but there is continually, day by day, year by year, there is a decreasing. Slowly it is getting worse. Nothing seems to help. And all the labors that they perform, they seem to be useless. Dearth, it says. What is that? Famine. That is hunger. That is a slow dying. Very slowly, they died to what? They died to their own efforts. They had to experience that. That no matter what they did, they can sow and they can plant, but they cannot give that increase. And slowly, year after year, and they are coming into the impossibility. Dearth. Dearth, congregation, is a serious matter. No, not just in the beginning, because in the beginning there is still hope. Because we will try again. If we do not at first succeed, but it is in the continuance. It is in the continuance of that dearth, because dearth that is leading unto death. And now finally, what do we read? And when all the land of Egypt was famished. What is that? Famished. Well, they are hungry. The word that means voracious, voracious, that means that there is a ravenous hunger. There is a voracious appetite. Thus there comes a time that the body that is craving for sustenance, there comes a time that body is not able to endure, to go on any longer, we would say, without having something to eat, because it says, I am going to die. Thus it is speaking about a certain degree, isn't it? When it says that all the land of Egypt was famished, then it is speaking about a certain extent. How far did this famine go? What was the extent of the suffering of this people? Do you know what that is? For your soul to be famished. Or maybe after years. Maybe after years in which you have tried to plant. And you have tried to water. And you have come up to the house of the Lord. And you seek it in the obedience to the commandments of the Lord. I am not going to be separated from Him. Oh, may I draw from Him His love when I may walk in obedience to all of His commandments. Can I convince the Lord that He would look upon me when I would turn away from all of my evil? Oh, that famished soul. That is a soul that is not able to endure anymore, any longer. And that time that has come, that he says, I am at the point of succumbing. Or that famished soul, that is a soul that we would say that is ready to die. Just think about that centurion's son. Oh, he was not only sick. No, he was not only sick, but we read that he is at the point of death. And thus we read of this cry, we say, a distressful cry. What was that? We read, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, that they cried to Pharaoh for bread. That was now all that the people could do anymore, is cry. Because they had no hope from their own side. Every avenue, everything that they did, that was of no use. And now that is not a place that we like to come, is it? That is not a place we bring ourselves, is it? Did they seek that place? Does the human nature seek a place like that? No, that is now the work of the Lord. Because it is necessary that a man come in a place like that. God saves His people. His people do not save themselves. They cannot. And they learned that in one way or another way, each and every one of them. One dies by the sword, just like Saul on the way to Damascus. Then it is cut off in a moment. And another dies by hunger. Another dies by the famine. But die we must. Die, we must. What does that mean, to die? That means not a natural death. We're not speaking about a natural death, young people. No, we speak about a dying to the efforts, the labors of a man. Everything that a man is able to perform, then we have to die to this. That is something that the Roman Catholic Church does not teach anymore. That is very sad. because they have fallen to the side of the semi-Pelagians. They do not want to say that that man is dead. No. They want to say, well, he is just sick. We will go halfway in between, as it were. He is not completely alive. He is not completely able, just like the Pelagians who are denying the fall altogether. But they don't want to go to the extreme of saying that man is completely spiritual dead, and they come just halfway. Say, well, he is sick. And so there remains some kind of an ability, or at least the Spirit of the Lord by common grace is giving unto him that spiritual ability. It does not have to be a special grace that God is giving unto his children, no. But it is given to every human being, so that we have just to wait for him now. The Lord has just to wait for him, that he will exercise that spiritual ability, and that he will take hold of that offer and that is proposed to him in the gospel. Is that what it says in the Word of God? What does Paul say? He says, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Death. The commandment is unto death. That is, that with my efforts, there is only one thing, one place I can bring myself, and that is unto death. And so that people experienced here. All that land was famished. And the people were hungry. The people, they would have to die. And so we read, they cried unto Pharaoh for bread. They cried unto one who had power above all their own power. They cried unto the ruler. They cried unto the governor of all that land. And so now that famished soul, he is crying. He is crying unto God for bread, for the life of his soul, that he would not die, that he would not perish. In all of his helplessness. Let us sing 117, 1, 2, and 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 4 of 117. Pharaoh's direction to his famished people. First, a distressful cry. Second, a satisfying direction. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, "Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Go unto Joseph." Pharaoh's congregation was not perplexed at this cry of this famished people. Pharaoh had a ready answer. Pharaoh knew what was coming a long time ago, because that was revealed to him already by the Lord. And Pharaoh had decreed a plan to care for that people, a plan that was looking even especially to this very moment when this people would cry unto Pharaoh for bread. And what did he do? He sought out a wise man from among them. He gave to them his ring. He set him over all the land in order that he may prepare for this very day. Joseph has been very, very busy. He has been doing the will of Pharaoh in preparing to feed a people who would be famished. For 7 years he has gathered. For 7 years he has put that corn away into great storehouses, we read. We read that he has filled those storehouses unto the brim with food as the sand of the sea, which is not able to be numbered. And thus, when this distressful cry comes up into the ears of this King Pharaoh, he does not hesitate for one moment, but he has for them a ready answer. Go unto Joseph. That was now the direction of Pharaoh to that people who were not able to feed themselves, to sustain their own life, to help themselves. We say, a satisfying answer. Why? Oh, he has an answer to their very, very need. It is a cry for what? It is a cry for bread. And bread is just what Joseph has. He has been storing it up for years already in anticipation. Is that bread now for himself? No. But that was bread that was saved especially for this people, for a people who would be hungry, for a people who would be famished. And we read, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that famine was so sore in all lands. And now we have for you young people a question. When did Joseph open the storehouse? When? Was that food for all that people? Was that in that storehouse for all the Egyptians and for all the people in all lands, in all countries? That was for them, you say. Yes. But when were the storehouses opened? Not until that land was famished. And because that land was famished, that cry came up unto Pharaoh for bread. And then the storehouses, they went open. Will you remember that? Will you just remember that? Will you remember that your whole life? Will you never forget it? That is now the way of the Lord. All there is such a plenty. There was not one person who came from any land, the far off lands, wherever that they came from. There was not a single person that had to die on account of their famine, whom Joseph had to turn away. We don't read that. No, there was so much food there. There was so much abundance there that all that people who hungered and who thirsted, they could eat and they could drink. Go unto Joseph. Oh, who is Joseph now? A type of. Is that not beautiful? Is that not beautiful? Then he is a type for us. He is a picture for us of the Lord Jesus Christ in the deliverance of his own people. When a famished soul is crying unto God for bread, oh, God is not perplexed. No, it is his own spirit. It is in his special providence that the Lord has been bringing that people unto that place, unto that cry, because the Lord is going to bring his church in. And he is going to bring them in with weeping and with supplications. And now, oh, he has been long preparing to fulfill the need, or even from that stillness of eternity, the decree that has gone forth already in that stillness of eternity, that the Lord may feed that people. And then he has appointed a wise man. He has set that man over all the land. He has given unto that man his ring, his own ring, that he may make decisions for him. He has put all things we read in the Bible under his feet. Oh, that man, that blessed man, that wise man, that man, Jesus Christ, that Son of God, the appointed of the Father, the anointed of the Holy Ghost, without measure. And now when Luther's heart smote him because of his sin, or in his quest, in his seeking, in his searching after God to take away the separation between God and his soul. Then the church said, go unto the priest, go unto your confessor. And there was no relief there, and it remains no relief there. When the church says, go unto the Virgin Mary, go unto the saints, go unto the priests, go unto the Pope, no, there is no relief there. Who delivered Luther? The Lord delivered Luther. God himself delivered Luther. He delivered the soul of Luther. And when the soul of Luther did cry unto God for bread, and what is now the essence of the deliverance of Luther, that was the revelation of the grace of God, free and sovereign grace, or that was so suitable to Luther. That is exactly what Luther needed. Oh, that is now contained in our text. What was that deliverance? Oh, that was the word of God himself. Do you know what God said to Luther? He said, go unto Jesus. That is what he said to Luther. Oh, in that moment, Luther obtained food. Food for his perishing soul. Oh, in that moment, he received out of the storehouses of that greater Joseph. Oh, do we know what that is? A little bit. To eat out of those storehouses, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. What an abundance that Jesus has laid up in store for his church. He gave for that reason his own blood of his own blessed and sacred body. He has allowed the devil to bruise his heel. Oh, what has he now purchased for them? It is now laid up. All laid up in those storehouses of that greater Joseph, that he may feed a people who are hungry, who are famished, and who are about to die. And now when that is true, and that cry goes up to God, God is giving unto that people direction. He gives that in their soul. In their soul. Did the Lord ever give you that direction in your soul? That the Lord has said unto you, go unto Jesus. They hear that. They hear that. They hear that with new ears. They hear that with spiritual ears. How do they hear that? Sometimes, then they are reading. Or they hear that in God's house, that the Lord says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. And then they hear that famished soul. And what does that soul hear in it? You know what they hear in it? Go to Jesus. That is what they hear in it. They do not need to hear very much because their ears are circumcised. It can be, as it were, just a little whisper. And their soul hears it. Ben-Hadad and his servants, they came with ropes about their necks, sackcloth on their loins, unto the king, defeated. I pray thee, let our souls live. And we read that they diligently observe whether anything would come from the king. They were looking. They were looking. Is anything favorable going to come from the king? And we read they did hastily catch it. Oh, that is the way now of that perishing soul. His ears, they are open and they are receiving. Oh, there is a place to receive. And now just the smallest word. Smallest hope, the smallest crumb, their soul is ready to receive. What do we read of the cripple at Lystra? We read Paul, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Soul, the soul of that people. Sometimes the Lord says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And now that soul, that famished soul, that sinner, for whom it is so, so impossible, he hears that. He says, for whom? And then what do they hear? All he hears, go unto Jesus. He hears that invitation. He hears that from God himself, in his wretchedness, in his misery, and in his perishing condition, we say a satisfying desire, all then that soul, how he is enabled. He is enabled in that moment to go unto him with all his woe and with all his trouble. Oh yes. Oh, then that soul does go. Then that soul does receive for a moment. He receives bread out of the hand of that greater Joseph, something. Something, even just a little crumb of what he has stored away for such a one in his storehouses. What do we read? That Joseph sold unto the Egyptians. Then those Egyptians had to pay for it, right? Right, children? They had to pay for it. Yeah, there came a time they could not pay for it anymore. All their money was gone. And then he says, well, give me your cattle and give me your houses and then give me yourselves. Another beautiful picture. Oh, then how did it end up? Oh, then they became servants unto Pharaoh. Then Joseph, he had actually gathered all the people and given them unto Pharaoh. And now, they had in the beginning to pay for it. What is now that price that is now put upon the people? When they are sent by God, and when he says, oh, when he whispers that, as it were, in his own soul, and when they may receive that by a true and a living faith, and what is the price? Oh, there can only be one price, because they are so famished, they are so poor, they have nothing to bring for it. And so he says it is without money and it is without price. Oh, that is just what Luther saw. That is just what Luther saw in that moment when the Lord delivered his soul, that it was grace. Oh, that it was grace. It was free and that it was without money and without price. And therefore it was also so fit and so suitable and so precious unto Luther. Go unto Joseph. Go unto Jesus. That is now the command of God himself to souls that are famished and that cry unto him for bread, for their life, Go unto Jesus. His storehouses, they are congregations so full of such a great abundance, sufficient, oh, to feed the famished souls that are in this whole world. Go not to the Pope. Go not to the priest. Go not to the Virgin Mary. Go not to the saints. Go not to the minister. Go not to the elders. Go not to the deacons, but go unto Jesus, where the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us who and what we are, because those storehouses remain closed until the famished soul cries to thee. Oh, then, Lord, give us to cry, because there is so much freedom and there is so much to be received for hungry and thirsty souls. And we are not hungry and thirsty by nature. No, not for thee or for anything of thine, but work it in us that we might know this same blessed truth in our hearts, in our lives. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Humble us under thy gifts. Give meditation and thy blessing upon thy truth also in our midst. Give us to know what it is, that we might bring it rightly unto our hearers, and that thou thyself may be glorified in the conversion, in the deliverance of sinners. For Jesus' sake, amen. 132, 1, 4, and 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 4, and 5 of 132.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.